الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى واذكر في الكتاب إسماعيل إنه كان صادق الوعد وكان رسولا نبيا وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة والزكاة وكان عند ربه مرضيا. Respected brothers and elders, in the early days of Islam, there was a lot of suffering, persecution, torturing, labeling, and the crime was that they had said, La ilaha illallah. So there was no wrong besides them proclaiming the truth, standing for truth, standing for justice, standing for right values, and on account of them standing for the right values, they had to go through persecution. When the difficulties had become unbearable, Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had allowed the Sahaba Kiram to move on to Habash, Abyssinia. As they reached Abyssinia, then the Meccans that were persecuting, they had sent up a delegation. So they poured a lot of gifts to the king of Abyssinia, Negus Najashi, priceless gifts. And then they requested these people that are our brothers that have ran away and come to your land, they must be returned at once. Najashi, although formerly had not yet accepted Islam, then later on he had accepted Islam. But he says that I need to be fair, I need to be honest and just. So until I do not hear the other side of the story, I cannot take a judgment. I can't take a decision. I must listen to the other side. And this is the way of all people that are honest, truthful. It is not the money. It is the honesty and the justice that you stand for. In spite of all the priceless gifts that they had thrown upon him, he wasn't bothered. You know, I must stand for justice, stand for the truth. Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu had been representing the Muslims, and he explained what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what was his teachings, what was his mission all about. He requested if something of the Quran be recited. And Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu read the opening verses of Surah Maryam. And it wasn't much time after that that his eyes began streaming with tears, uncontrollable. The whole beard is full of tears. The bishops and the priests were around, all full of tears. Najashi says at the end that this and the revelation that was sent to Isa alayhi salam, Injil, what we call the Bible nowadays, is coming from the same niche, from the same source. And now he understood that this that was given as a bride. So he returned all those gifts and said, you go, and if anybody dare harms you and hurts you, he's going to be in problem. He gave him sanctuary, gave him all the protection. Some years later, Najashi had passed away in Abyssinia, though his heart's desire was to come away to Medina Munawwara and be in the service of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As he said, if I had only been in his service, I would take the shoes of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on my head. But now I've got the responsibility of this kingdom, I can't just leave. So his heart was with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, though he could not make that move. On his passing away, Nabi Sallam had announced that he has passed away and performed the janaza namaz in absentia. The Sahaba Ikram say, we were in no doubt that his body was before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As a mu'jiza and a miracle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his body was there. And this was the only time that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had performed the namaz of anybody in absentia. Whereas there were others that had passed away later on, Hazrat Jafar, Hazrat Zayd ibn Harisa, Abdullah bin Rawaha, all had passed away in Roman territory, Mu'ta, but Nabi Sallam had not performed the janazah namaz for anybody else. Yeah, it was a miracle, and miracles are decided by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, this surah starts off with the mention of several anbiya. First, the mother of a Nabi, that is Maryam alayhi salam. Then Zakaria alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, and Idris alayhi salam. So now the question that comes to mind is, why does Allah Ta'ala speak about these respective Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam? In the opening verses of the Surah Maryam, there must be a reason that he speaks about these Anbiya alayhi salam and the mother of the Anbiya, that was Maryam alayhi salam. Why did Allah Ta'ala speak? So the first verse gives it off. ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبَدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. This is a recital, a discussion about the mercy of your Rabb directed to Zakariya alayhi salam. Therefore, the ulama kiram conclude, in the ذِكْرِ الصَّالِحِينَ تَنْزِلُ الرَّحْمَةِ. When good people are being discussed, then the special mercies of Allah Ta'ala descend. Pious people, good people, and good things are being discussed. Hadith and Quran Sharif is being discussed. Then the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala descends. Like in the zikri talihin, tanzirul ghadab. We are talking about people that are not committed to deen. Then you find a void within your heart. You find some type of misery. Talking about, oh, this person, and how much of wealth he had made, and what a deal he had struck, and this sportsman, and what a name he has achieved and acquired, and that person there, a non-Muslim, and what strides he has made in life. So then you see a feeling of void in your heart, a dissatisfaction. You don't feel good. So obviously, when you're going to be talking about good people, anbiya, awliya, then this is a way to please Allah Ta'ala. Talk about them with feeling and with passion, you talk about them, then this attracts the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it attracts the happiness of Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is happy on his throne, you will be happy in your home. In the skies, in the heavens, Allah ta'ala is happy. So there will be happiness that will be prevailing within your home. But if you're going to be talking about all these type of people, got nothing to do with deen, the whole life is just after material, life is just after pleasure and comfort, just to make a name for themselves, becoming TV actors, etc. So if this is going to be the discussion, then this is attracting the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, the anger of Allah Ta'ala. And then when Allah Ta'ala is displeased, then displeasure is going to come in your home. Irrespective of all the comforts that you've got in the home, but you'll find yourself to be dissatisfied. I can't find the fulfillment, I can't find the pleasure, I can't find the happiness. I still need to do this. So where this comes from is the right things are not being spoken about within the home. So the need to make the home Islamic friendly, dini friendly. So the child that walks into the house, he sees an Islamic friendly environment. If there is an environment of friendliness, the child sees it, he perceives it. Obviously, to make it Islamic friendly, then we have to invest in it. We have to work towards it. Everything else we invest. So we have to invest in making this home Islamically friendly. But then how do we make the home Islamically friendly? So this surah is discussing these type of matters. Allah Pak speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now look at the home. Again, we're talking of a homely environment. The home is in shirk, disbelief, statues. So now he has to have an approach with his father that this what you're doing is not right. He may have reasoned within his mind, may have thought about it in his mind, that my father brought me up, he's done so much for me, right? He made it possible for me to think and see things in perspective. And now, he brought me up with such care, Allah Pak has blessed me to the road of Jannat. When Allah Pak has blessed me, showing me the road of Jannat, then the greatest duty that I have towards my parents is to also direct them to Jannat. If I am going to be just concerned about the material well-being, the physical well-being, and with their eyes closing, they see themselves landing up in Jahannam, then they'll swear me, they'll curse me, that you knew about the truth, you knew about Islam, you knew the way to Jannat, then why didn't you show it, why didn't you guide us to it? But then, one is to guide them, but guide them with the right approach. Now look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, and when he's speaking to his father, and with what respect, Ya Abati, repeatedly, one sentence, and he says, my dear father, my respected father, my loving father, Ya Abati. He doesn't say, Ya Abuya, Ya Abi. He says, Ya Abati, to show a lot of respect and regards. Though I'm inviting you towards the right, but that it doesn't give me a license to disrespect you. I must show you all the respect that you deserve, I must show it to you. We sometimes incorrectly think that I've got better arguments, and with the stronger arguments, I can turn you around. It doesn't normally happen. Just the argument doesn't win the person. As I was leaving the madrasa just now, so one person asked me, alright, you know, you need to show love. So how do you show love? I've been explaining to him that when you win, you get a person, when you win him over with love. So he asked me, then how do you win the person with love? So I explained to him, gave him an example. Imagine, you have come home and your wife uses 10 intellectual reasoning, 10 intellectual arguments that you have to take me to the shop, to the mall to do some shopping now. Intellectual arguments he uses. And she expects you to be convinced, expects to impress you with the arguments, and you must take her then. The other approach is that she shows you love. As you come into the house, she shows you love, respect, the food of your choice, the comfort of your choice. You see your children all welcome, the house is clean, neat, the food is right, she gives you the right reception, everything is good. Now that you relaxed, and in the spirit of relaxation, then she says, darling, I need to do some shopping. He said, with all my heart, I will do it for you. What was the difference? The first one tried to turn and manipulate with brains. And the other tried to manipulate with heart. So the heart is something else, and the brain is something else. The brain may agree, but that doesn't motivate, doesn't drive the person. And when you want the heart, then the man will do anything for you. Whatever you want, whatever you ask for, and you will get it done. So Ibrahim alayhi salam goes on speaking, لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبِسِرُ وَلَا يُبْنِي, in a very gentle, polite way. لَا تَعْبُدِ الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ عَصِيًّا إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَانِ. This is my concern. أَن يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَانِ, that perhaps some punishment will come to you in your qabr, in the hereafter, some wrong, some problems you will encounter. So I don't want that to happen to you. You're my father, you're my blood. I've got feelings for you. With all the respect and all the love that Ibrahim al-Islam shows to his father, but his father is showing aggression, he's showing impoliteness, he's being rude. He says to him, that لَإِلَّمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ, Ibrahim, you are turning me away from the religion of my forefathers. If you don't desist, I will stone you to death. And now, for now, You just leave me. Get away from her. Get out of the house. Ostracize. Move out. Wahjurni maliya. Get away. I don't want to see you now. Now, he been good. He had the right approach. He did everything that was right. But then, this is the response that he's being meted with. Like I said in the beginning, Sahaba Ikram, the only crime was they were being good, they were being honest, they were being truthful. And for their goodness, for their holding on to justice, then this was the type of treatment that they had to put up with. So now, this is the treatment. Ibrahim alayhi salam is not yet affected. He is not returning an evil for an evil. You know, this is what we say today, tit for tat. That is not the Islamic approach. Though, to a certain extent, you would say it is not haram. But is that the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam? That was not the way of the Anbiya, not the way of the pious. Here, the way is this, this person is being hard, he's being oppressive, he's being unreal, he's being impolite. But then the hadith says, what you're supposed to be doing? The one that is hard on you, you forgive him. Overlook the faults. Don't you want Allah Ta'ala to forgive you? You have also got some baggages. When you got baggages, then aren't you using your brains? You want Allah Ta'ala to forgive you, so you forgive his bondsmen. The way you want Allah Ta'ala to treat you, you must treat his servants the same way. You want Allah Ta'ala to treat you in a certain way, then you treat the bondsmen of Allah Ta'ala in that way. أَوْفُ أَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ أَحْسِنْ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. The one that is being rude towards you, he's cruel towards you, you be good towards him. Now see the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Man that is rude, is impolite, is aggressive, you be good towards him. Now won't the person's heart be melted? He's been rude, he's been aggressive, he's been impolite, but my deen teaches me that I must be good towards him. I would return the evil for a good. I would return all that wrong with goodness. So that was the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yesterday there was the Bukhari Khatam, right? So the Mawlana explained, we all want our deeds, our scale of deeds to be weighing very heavy. We can be flying to Jannah. In a second we can be just flying without any interrogation, without any delay. And the moment we stand up from our graves and you want to go straight to Jannah, isn't that the dream? But now, how do you make that possible? If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given you a promise, a reward, then he shows the procedure as well. So that's a compassion, that's a love from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you want it, I've got it. But then follow procedure and you will get it. So what makes it the weightiest? It's good character. And now what is the gist of good character is this, what I've explained now. The one that is being wrong towards you, is impolite, forgive him. The one that is being unreal towards you, you be good towards him. He is being impolite. He will do what his mind tells him to do. He will do what his parents may have told him to. He is doing according to his background. But you do according to your background. You coming from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You coming from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He has taught you that you be good. Irrespective of that person's treatment, you be good. He is cursing you, you make dua for him. In this night that is coming, 15th night of Shaban, and then the month of Ramadan, everybody's dream is, my duas must be answered, my prayers must be answered. Don't we want that? So we want that to happen, then this is a very easy procedure. Forgive the person, be good towards him. Sil man qata'ak, he's broken up with you. He doesn't want to see you, but you're trying to patch up, making up with him. If you can't talk to him, he's not taking your calls, you're at least messaging him in some way or the other, but you're trying to mend the relationship, not to break the relationship. Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah alayhi is one of the leading tabi tabi'in. Those that seen the tabi'in are called tabi tabi'in. And those that seen the sahaba kirama are called tabi'in. So he's a leading tabi tabi'in, the ones that seen the tabi'in. So some youngsters were going on a cruise and they saw Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi. So they said, hey, we need to have something to entertain us. Something for the past time. We're going for a cruise, 10 days. So some person we need to have that we'll entertain ourselves. They saw him and they felt he was like a tramp. Let's push him onto the boat and we'll entertain ourselves. Push him this side, that side, let him shout, shriek and all that. In the meanwhile, we'll entertain ourselves. Not realizing that he's the awliya of the time. From amongst the awliya of the time, he's that type of a person he is. And they started like they had planned, pushing in this end or that end, until he fell. He lost balance and he fell. When he fell, now Allah Ta'ala spoke to him, Ibrahim, if you so wish, we'll drown the last of these people. Everyone will drown them. Do they know who they're interfering with? So his dua is again coming from the teaching of the wisdom. That light is coming from the same source, is the same. So he says, oh Allah Ta'ala, like you have the ability to drown the last of them, you have also the ability to make them the awliya of the time. What they did, usne kya apne zarf aur himmat ke mutabik, khuda ne diya apni karam ke mutabik. He did according to his capacity, they did according to their capacity. Oh Allah Ta'ala, you've got the ability to drown the last of these people, but you have also got the ability to ascend them, escalate them, to become the awliya of the time. Nothing stops you. And then the last of them became the awliya. What they went to do, and what dua this man made for him. So this is the Mubarak teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how to get our scales of deeds weighty on the day of Qiyamah. So now, the right type of approach has to be used. Like I explained, Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam is explaining to his father, but the approach is also very important. How do you approach? How do you? Her Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, they have got a son, Abu Talha and Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. They have got a child, and the child is ailing for some time. Father is coming from a hard day's work. As he comes to the house, so obviously the first question will be, how is the child? Any father that's got a little bit of rahm, this is what he'll ask, and how is the child doing? So, Umm Sulaym says, "Huwa askanu makan." He is very much relaxed now. He is very much relaxed. In the meanwhile, the child had passed out. His phone is dead, finished. But the answer that she gives is, he's passed away. He's as comfortable, he's relaxed. In other words, she was using some figurative language, metaphorical. One is literal, and one is to use a metaphorical, figurative language. So she didn't use the literal meaning, she used some other meaning. Huwa askanu makan. In other words, after death, then there's no misery for a small child. He's a masoom little child. Inshallah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, he'll be ushered into Jannah. So this was, she was meaning. But she did this deliberately. She did this because she felt, my husband is coming from a hard day's work. If I'm going to announce this to my husband now, perhaps he will not eat. If you hear that your child has died, can you eat? He will not eat. He will not be able to sleep. Right? Now, as the better person in this equation, what am I required to do? To be the better person, what must I do? So she felt the better thing is, let him come, let him eat. Right? Then he want to relax, let him relax. He'll want some type of good time with me. Offer it to him, conform, just agree. So she did everything. But imagine she put like a rock onto her heart, and she went in, she did all that, she fed him with respect, let him sleep. She had some urge, so she conformed. She did everything just to make the husband comfortable. Again, the high level of character she showed, she displayed. They all knew that this is the ticket to Jannah. Good character, how do you conduct yourself? And this is not for convenience. One is, I display good character just to make something out of you. That's good. You learn that in business. How would you show good character just to attract a clientele? So this is not for that. This is only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for your own Jannah. Anyway, he is rested. Before he can leave for the masjid, now the wife announces the news that, you know what, your son has died. Oh, she felt upset for the moment. But why didn't you let me know as I came into the house? You didn't let me eat and let me sleep and let me do some things with you. But why didn't you tell me in the night? Anyway, as an obedient, obliging, respectable wife, she kept quiet, but he couldn't stand it. He buried the child and he announced it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is what happened. So Nabi was extremely happy, made dua for him. Barakallahu feekuma. Allah Pak give you barakah. Now that little bit of sabr, patience, and being good towards the husband for that moment, what did it earn? See, we only see what I'm paying. We're not looking at the returns in the hereafter. If we look for returns, we're looking for returns in this world. But what about the real returns? وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدًّا. The enduring good deeds. One is, I did something and I got a fast return. I made an investment, I got 100 million out of it. So that's a quick return. But it's not lasting. Either you will leave before you can enjoy it, or that thing will leave before you can enjoy it. One of the two is going to happen. But that actual return is that return that is perpetual all the time. So Nabi Sallam made dua. As a result, they got a child from the same get together, and the child became prosperous in dunya and deen. He was a leader in deen and dunya. But that little sabr, little patience they had to go through for them to earn this. Now this thing is not impossible. We feel, this is for the past, they had the sabr, they could do things. But if the people in the past had to go to Jannat, we also need to go to Jannat. If there was a procedure for them, then there is a procedure for us as well. Follow the procedure, follow the line, and enter where they will enter. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.